This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
India's surprise invalidation of the country's 500 and 1,000 rupee notes is quickly becoming more than just an inconvenience for many. However, Prime Minister of India Narendra Modi, who dubs the move as the Great Sacrifice, believes the invalidation is necessary to eradicate corruption. Businesses and banks have since struggled to keep up with the demand to exchange old notes, leaving many short of small change for basic daily necessities. While criticism is rife over the impact of the move for people who don't have bank accounts, Modi's administration believes it has taken measures to address this issue 2 years ago. Padma Priya Govindarajan is a correspondent at The Diplomat based in India. She explains further.
I think there are particular groups that when governments think of policies that go along the greater good narrative, they tend to forget about particular groups. For instance, the BJP itself has earlier in the past made statements saying that the common man will be affected by policies like demonetization because of lack of access to banking. So one argument that was made and for why it's a good idea for the BJP to do this right now was the Prime Minister's Jan Dhan Yojana, which is basically a policy that they instituted in 2014 August for comprehensive financial inclusion. So the idea behind it is to bring thousands and crores of people into the banking system so that they have better banking connectivity. So the rationale is that since more people have been brought into the banking system over the past couple of years, this wouldn't affect them so much.
The move has also reportedly affected the disenfranchised community, including Pakistani refugees and women in poorer communities.
This is problematic in several ways. First, several reports have indicated that while the number of new accounts, even within 6 months of this policy, increased by like 125 million, even up to a year back or about 8 months back, only 39-40% of these account holders held ATM cards. And there was also a case as recently as a few months back, either having zero balances or 1 rupee balances that banks might put in to hide the fact that they were negligible accounts or accounts that weren't being used. So even if people have access to these accounts, if using those accounts was not something that was the norm, a lot of people wouldn't really benefit from the fact that they have banking connectivity. And this typically tends to be poorer people, people from disadvantaged economic backgrounds and people from more rural areas with access to fewer banks and fewer post offices and networks. Pakistani refugees in border states, for instance, haven't been granted the ability to go ahead and have bank accounts from the RBI, even as recently as September this year. So they, for instance, don't have the ID documents to open a bank account and haven't received the approval, which means the money they hold is held in cash form. Similarly, another set of people who might be affected by this would be women, particularly in rural areas, women who are disproportionately dependent on their spouses for money. If they have any money of their own, they tend to hold it in cash. And now they don't have the ability to come out and say they've been secretly hoarding this money.
Death cases among citizens caused by exhaustion after standing in line for long hours have raised alarm bells. Priya expands on the severity of the situation.
Obviously, things look pretty bad in those fronts. And I don't think the government necessarily predicted this would be the scale of panic and this would be the scale of exhaustion and fear. So I think that it's definitely problematic that this is happening. And I also think that in large part due to the fact that a lot of people who hitherto didn't use banking facilities too much or hitherto used primarily cash or hoarding of cash at home as their way of conducting everyday transactions are suddenly forced to engage with the banking system that they didn't really so regularly engage with before, which means that this kind of panic and this kind of the long queues and the exhaustion is to be expected. That doesn't obviously mean it's good at all. And obviously, that's not at all probably what the government intended. But unfortunately, it's one of the worst consequences of this policy.
However, certain parties believe that the lack of awareness among the public over the new policy has been the source of the problem. Priya clarifies.
It's not that people aren't aware. It is that people are frustrated that this is happening all of a sudden and they didn't expect it because they weren't given notice. So if, for instance, people had known for even potentially a week earlier, they could have done this in smaller numbers or they could have better planned their day and planned their course of action in reaction to this policy. Now, obviously, the government has its own reasons. If they'd announced it a week earlier, it would also give people who are hoarding black money a chance to dispense of this money. But it does, however, mean that people are very ill-prepared to face it. And when people are ill-prepared to face it, there's a sense of fear about what's going to happen to their money. And there's obviously this looming 50-day deadline. If they don't exchange that money, there's a significant portion of their savings, of their money, that won't be valid at all. So those kinds of things are causing the panic. And obviously, if you have to stay in long queues and deal with ATMs and then get to the end of the long queue only to discover the ATM has run out, that's going to increase frustration. So there's a possibility that if the government puts in place mechanisms to support the banking system, to support the tellers, to support the ATMs, this panic will abate.
Despite all these flaws, the demonetization process has the support of over 93% of the 5 million people who took the survey on Modi's app. Only 2% viewed the demonetization negatively. Priya elaborates on the sentiments shared by communities of different social classes in India.
I do believe that the rhetoric that, you know, we're going to take money away from people who are illegally hoarding it and give it back to the government to work for the poor, to work for the common man, is pretty powerful rhetoric, which means that in theory, a lot of people might actually be okay with this. What's really polarizing people against the move is how much they have to suffer on a day-to-day basis because of this. So I think sections of the society that have access to plastic money, have access to apps and services that allow you to conduct net banking transactions or debit card transactions, they're much less worried. So I think, for instance, the upper classes, the upper middle classes, and some sections of the middle classes as well are relatively less affected by this. Sure, they complain about long queues and they complain about the difficulty in exchanging the amount of hard cash they have right now. But once things like ATMs begin to stabilize, these classes are less likely to be directly affected. But the disenfranchised groups or groups that are economically disadvantaged, they are more likely to suffer for a longer period of time because they're not used to the banking system. They're not used to these kinds of policies coming in place. And obviously the people who are actually hoarding black money in these forms, and they're not going to be very happy, but we don't have a way of saying exactly how those groups are reacting yet.
Priya expects to see more reactions from those who oppose the policy, but she believes the Indian government will stand its ground.
What happened was there were a few public interest litigations and petitions filed, and the Supreme Court last week heard all of these petitions, and a lot of them called for either the repeal of this move or the extension of the deadline and so on. The Supreme Court actually heard these petitions and heard these PILs and gave the government until November 25th to actually get back and defend their notification and say how they were going to go about this process. So definitely, I think the government ought to, at least in view of these kinds of directives, look into ways to mitigate things like the long queues. And I think official spokespersons have made statements saying that they expect things to stabilize within this week or within early next week, because the ATMs, for instance, have at least over the past couple of days seen smaller queues because more ATMs are now functioning. The problem, of course, is that as soon as money comes into an ATM and it becomes functional, the long queues attack the ATM and it gets depleted at once. But I think that most people within the government are of the belief that within this week or early next week, at least the bulk of it should stabilize, if not all of it. As soon as more working ATMs are in place, that would reduce the pressure on the banking system. But I don't think he is going to change the policy itself, and I think they're definitely going to put out a defense by November 25th.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.